Good morning. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Good morning.
Is it just you, Lana?
Yes.
Okay. We'll move forward anyway.
Okay. Thank you.
We'll start with the L'shem Yehud. We will do the meditations for the 3 weeks. And then we will start with Psalm 69. I believe we're on verse 9. And we're doing the two different translations, one being the Machon Mamre, and the other the Yearning for Redemption, the PDF. Both are available on the Psalms landing page, which is in the section of the Tanit Dibur in the Unique Astrological Times link on every Hashem webpage under the two pictures. When the two links open up, scroll to Psalm 69, and you'll find the two links to the Machon Mamre and the PDF, and then scroll down on those two to Psalm 69, verse 9. L'shem Yehud Kudsha Barichu Ishkinte Bid Hilur Himud Hilud Hilur Himud. Le'akda l'shem yod-hei b'vav-hei v'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah, la'asok Torah mitzvah. Vayihino am Adonai Eloheinu alei demaasei yadeinu kanenei alei demaasei yadeinu kanenehu. The first of the five meditations for the three-week period is to transform Hashem's name one letter to the right, which becomes Tet Dalet Hey Dalet. The second meditation is to transform Hashem's name one letter to the left, and it becomes Kaf Vav Zayin Vav. The third meditation is to transform Hashem's name using the Atbash letter substitutions, and it becomes Mem Tzadi Pei Tzadi. Together, at Dalet Hey Dalet, Kaf Vav Zayin Vav, and Mem Tzadi Pei Tzadi, total a gematria of 360, which is the same as the letter Shin when spelled out, Shin Yud Nun. So we have created, through these three names of Hashem, a connection to the creation of the letter Shin. The fourth meditation is to take the word Tzara, Tzadi Resh Hey, and transform the letters, rearrange the letters, permutate the letters to Resh Tzadi Hey. Tzara has the meaning of troubles. Retzei has the meaning of desires, which are opportunities. The question is, how do we transform Tzara to Retzei? And we do so utilizing the letters of Resh Tzadi Hey, Retzei, the gematria of which of these three letters is 295. And when we add a name of God, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, Adonai, which is a gematria of 65 to 295, we have again 360, which is how we create the second shin will utilize to manifest the permutation to change troubles into opportunities. The fifth meditation is utilizing the words Shim Shalom. Both words start with a shin, and we've already created the shin. Shim Shalom has a gematria of 726. The two shins have a gematria of 720 when spelled out. And when we add a kollel for each of the six names that we've used in these meditations, which are Tet Dalet He Dalet, Kaf Vav Zayin Vav, Mem Tzadi Pei Tzadi, Adonai, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, Elohim, and Hashem. By adding one for each of the six names, we have a gematria of 726, the gematria of Shim Shalom. And it is this essence that allows us to inject Shalom, Shalem, peace and completion into this period of the 3 weeks. I'm now going to start with the study of Psalm 69 that we are continuing this week from last week. Last week we did verses 1 to 8. So we are starting with verse 9. Musar hayiti le'echai v'nachri livnei imi. And I'm reading from the PDF in the English translation. Dear God, how unbearable my pain. Nobody even recognizes me. I am like a stranger to my brothers. I am considered a bastard in their eyes, an alien to my mother's children. The Nechon Mamre translation. I am become a stranger to my brethren and an alien unto my mother's children. It's very clear because in the PDF, Rabbi Sutton, in his translation, whenever he adds words to help us with the understanding of the translation, as he did here, where he says, oh my God, but the name of God is not in the verse, in the Hebrew. He always writes it in smaller letters so that you know what's his words and what is the Torah. This is an important tool to keep in mind. So where would he have gotten the idea to add the whole sentence that he added? It usually comes from a midrash, and in this case, I'm sure it does, and we will discuss the midrash in later weeks when we finish with the initial translation. There are six words. Now, six words connects to the six sephirot of Zvirun Pin. But it lacks the seventh. It is the male energy, the sharing energy, but without a vessel to receive it. And this is one of the reasons that Rabbi Sutton added this verse, added this description. Oh my God, or dear God, how unbearable my pain. Nobody even recognizes me. There are 25 letters, which is another connection, 5 times 5, representing the completion of the 5 worlds. Now, are there 5 worlds? Yes. Why do we only talk about 4? We speak about Atzilut, Bria. Atzilut is emanations, Bria is creation. Yetzirah is formation, and Asiyah is action. These are the 4 worlds that we normally speak about. But there is a 5th higher world, referred to as Adam Kadmon, the primordial man. There are 5 worlds, and when they are in completion with the 5 Sephirot, the 5-part Sufim, the 5-part Sufim is Abba, Ima, Zerantin, it's Abba, Ima, Leah, Rachel, and Malchut, or the Nukva. Parts of theme are Abba, Ima, Leah, Rachel, and the Nukva. It gets a little confusing because Leah and Rachel are female, representing the parts of theme for Zerantin. But it's actually not really the female in that sense. It's the upper and the lower. Always remember that the glyph that you look at that kind of describes the Sephirot in the 10 circles and the 22 lines is representing a multi-dimensional universe in 2 dimensions. And this is why Rabbi Ashlag has recommended that we not utilize that as to help our understanding, but utilize words. And from those words, we can form the picture of those 10 dimensions. But it takes a lot of practice to do so in a meditation, and it takes a lot of learning to truly understand that image. The 10th verse, I'm again on the PDF file. Ki tina ki nat. Beitcha akalach bi v'herpot chorfecha naflu alai. For the jealousy of your house, the extreme righteousness of my father and my brothers has consumed me. It has prevented them from seeing the good in me. The disgraces of those who disgrace you have fallen upon me. The Bechon Mamre translation. Because zeal for thy house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. Yeah. really what occurs to me from this one verse is to really contemplate, is someone's ancestors the important value to uphold, as opposed to the important value is the character and the personality of the person? King David, as we will learn in a midrash and an essay, King David was considered by his brothers a bastard. A mamzer is the Hebrew word. He wasn't a mamzer on any definition of the word. There is a different understanding to mamzer, to bastard, in Judaism than there is in the Western world. And I'm not going to, well, I'll just briefly go into the difference. In the Western world, is someone born out of wedlock.
Malka.
And Malka, we're on verse 10. Okay. And I recommend that you listen to the recording for verse 9 when it comes up.
Okay.
The word mamzer in Hebrew represents someone who is born to a woman that the father of that child is not her husband. And it's only a married woman that it applies to. So if a woman is single and the father is not her husband, then the person is considered a mamzer. And there are various regulations regarding the marriage of that child. In that they can only marry another mamzer. But this verse 10 is talking about the pain that King David feels from his brothers by they're not, and they're doing this out of trying to honor their ancestors, trying to honor their house, trying to honor their forebears. And that raises the question in my mind, what is the important value? It leads to the question of the science today, is nature, your DNA, more important than the nurture, the way you are raised, the values that are inculcated into you as a child? Nature versus nurture. This is the same discussion that King David is raising, but he's raising it from the standpoint of his pain, of not being treated as an equal, properly, as a son of his father, by his brothers. Verse 11, and I'm starting to read from the Mechon Mamre website. Wa'ayevche ba'atzom nafshi ratchi lacharafot li. And I wept with my soul fasting. That became unto me a reproach. Verse 11 on the PDF file. I fast in order to clean myself before you. I cry for the constriction of my soul. This too they used to cast aspersions on me. You can see the significance just reading the English translation from Rabbi Sutton, not even the words that he adds. You see a significant difference in the translation. The more literal translation is in the Chon Mamre, but it doesn't really give you the true understanding of the expressions in the Hebrew. There are six words again in this verse representing the connection to Zeranpin, the six Sephirot. But again, we have 25 letters representing 5 times 5, a form of completion. Verse 12. Wyat na levushi sik viechi lahem lemashal. I attempt to atone for all my sins by making sackcloth my clothing. But this too they use as an excuse. I am a mockery to them. Transitioning to the Machon Mamre website for its in English translation. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a byword unto them. Six words again. We've mentioned before that 23 is the number of Hebrew letters after the Mashiach. I think I'd like to just take a minute to explain what is sackcloth. You'll see that in many places through the Psalms. And it's an indication of what was a characteristic of mourning in the earlier generations. They would wear sackcloth. Sackcloth is burlap sacks, what we transfer wheat in or many other commodities. It's a very rough material. It scratches, it irritates the skin, and as a form of self-pain inducing, I always forget the word because self-flagellation, all of these kinds of aspects, this is the nature and the meaning of the word sackcloth. This is what it's describing. Where you're irritating yourself, you're really, it's a form of self-hatred in modern psychology terms, but it's not done as self-hatred. It's done as a sign of relieving the pain that you feel as you mourn the loss of something. Verse 13. Yasihu vi yoshve shar ungino chote sheker. They that sit in the gate talk of me, and I am the song of the drunkards. Now, the PDF, English translation or commentary. I attempt to atone for all my sins by making sackcloth my clothing. I'm sorry, I should be looking at verse 13. I'm on the wrong page in the PDF. Those who sit at the gate of the city converse about me. Drunkards make up songs about me. You can see both translations are relatively similar. But what is it really talking about? King David is saying, people gossip about me. And as they gossip about me, I feel badly about who I am. As they gossip about me, I feel a drain of energy. You ever wondered why some days you wake up feeling badly? Some days you've been very happy when you woke up, and as the couple hours into the day, you kind of feel a drop in your energy level. I'm not talking about the afternoon drop in energy. I'm talking about something that happens in the morning. Perhaps it's an indication that people have been talking about you. Because gossip drains energy. Even gossip that is complimentary. In verse 13, we have seven words, which we all know. Seven is connecting to Shabbat. It's connecting to Zeramtin and Malchut in unity. Letters connects to the word koach, which means strength or power. Why would you think Hashem would put these numbers in the connection to this verse? The number 7 and the number 28. Just to give you some really deep understanding, the first verse in the Torah is 7 words long. It has 28 letters. So whenever you find a verse with that connection, you're talking about creation. And this is the problem with gossip. And this is why Hashem describes the unity of Zeramtin and Malchut in this negative way, or connecting to this negative concept. Verse 14. Wa'ani tefilati lecha Hashem et ratzon. Elohim berochas decha aneni be'emet ishecha. Please give me a 1 minute break.
Please talk. The credit card and report.
Yeah, I didn't write both. My name's
Ben Bob.
No problem. If you want to sit, you can give me some of it. back. The English translation for verse 14. While they are busy mocking me, however, I, for my part, I offer myself in prayer to you, Hashem. O merciful Hashem, in a moment of divine favor, Elohim, O just God, in the abundance of your loving kindness, answer me with the assurance of your delivery. Boy, I got confused, didn't I? No, that's correct. So I'm transferring to the Mahon Mamre. But as for me, let my prayer be unto thee, O Lord, which is Hashem, in an acceptable time. O God, which is Elohim, in the abundance of thy mercy, answer me with the truth of thy salvation. There are 12 words connecting to the 12 tribes of Israel. Forty-five is the number that connects to Adam, the man. Adam is a word in Hebrew that means both the name of the first man. It's also a name for people who are named Adam, but it's also a word for mankind, both male and female, in unity. Verse 15. Hatzileni mitot li'al etzba inatzla ma'isnei umimamake mayim. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Rabbi Sutton's translation in the PDF. Rescue me from sinking into the mud. Do not let me drown. Save me from my enemies and from depths of the waters, the spiritual forces that threaten to engulf my soul. In my opinion, this is King David crying out to his justified depression. Not that he ever became depressed, but he would use this cry to Hashem to avoid allowing himself falling to depression. Depression is a psychological term, but it's also a term that's used in Kabbalah. It describes the desire for oneself alone, the effect of the desire for oneself alone on one's self-image. His brothers were thinking low of him. How could a child growing up with that type of energy, How could he avoid becoming a poor self-image of himself? How would he avoid that? And then ultimately, with a poor self-image, people become depressed. Aren't they justified? But he utilized this verse and the concepts that are taught in the Kabbalah, that you are unique, that the world cannot complete itself without you. That is the most powerful thought to take you out of depression that I know. Verse 16. Aoshti tefeini mishkolet mayim ve'alti v'layeini mitzula ve'alti tard alai be'er piha. Do not let the whirlpool carry me away. Do not allow the abyss to swallow me. Do not let the well into which I have fallen close its mouth on me. The Mechon Mamre translation commentary. Please remember, every translation is a commentary, because every Hebrew verse has 70 explanations, and you're only getting one with the translation that you're looking at at any given time. Let not the water flood overwhelm me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Twelve words. Forty-five letters. One day I'm going to look for the first verse in the Torah that has 12 words and 45 letters. Because there's a connection between this verse and that verse, but I've not done the counting. It's something that should be automated, should be very easily followed, but no one has done it to my knowledge, and I have not yet done it to be automated, which is one of the goals to do. Because this is a way of understanding the Torah through the counting of the letters and the counting of the words. Verse 17. Aneini Hashem. Kito hazdecha, iro rachamecha p'nei elai. Answer me, Hashem, for thy mercy is good. According to the multitude of thy compassions, turn thou unto me. Rabbi Sutton's translation commentary. Answer me, Hashem, O merciful God, for your kindnesses are the highest good. Turn to me with the overflowing abundance of your mercies. There are 9 words. Thirty-one letters connecting to the name of God, Aleph Lamed El. I just counted the number of letters in verse 16. So give me a second to connect to verse 17. In case you're wondering why I seem to be overwhelmed today, it's not that I'm overwhelmed. I've had interruptions, and those interruptions are part of the process, part of the energy of the day. So I welcome the interruptions. And I do not become upset by the interruptions, which is a characteristic of patience, learning patience. There are 31 letters as well in verse 17. So the question is, does 31 represent Chachma, or does it represent Yesod? And the answer is, the name El is the name of God in the level of Chachma, so it becomes clear. Verse 18. We altaster panecha me avdecha kitsarli maher aneni. Verse 18 in the English translation commentary from Rabbi Sutt. Please do not hide your face from your servant, for I am in great pain. Quickly, answer me. The Machon Mamre translation. And hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in distress. Answer me speedily. I'm going to address the word aneni. We use that a lot during the slichot service that we do in the month of Elul. It's a very famous prayer song, aneni, where aneni is the first word and the last word of 22 verses that follow the order of the alphabet. Aneni translates as answer me. It's not a demand, because how can you demand to Hashem to answer you? But it's a plea to answer me. But it's a praise to answer me. But the most intriguing aspect of aneni, the gematria is 180. The ayin is 70. The two nuns are 50 each, making 170. And the yud makes it 180. Another way of translating it is, look at the letters. Ayin is sight, C-S-E-E. The two nuns spell the letter nun, representing the energy of nafal, of falling. And the yud at the end of the word is my. It's the possessive pronoun. The word is, say, instead of translating answer me, the essence of the word based on the letters is see my fall. When you have fallen spiritually, when you are not happy, you have fallen spiritually. It's answer me because I have fallen. It's such a powerful word. Use it often. Verse 19. Karva el nafshi ge'ala leman oyevai pedeni. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Ransom me because of mine enemies. The PDF, commentary translation. Oh, draw near to my soul. Redeem her now. Redeem me, lest my enemies become emboldened. Well, that's a significant change in commentary, don't you agree? Between the two different English translations, they're not really adding, Rabbi Sutton didn't really add a lot of extra words. He just put the word now, which he could have left off, and we would not have changed, really understood his meaning differently. It's just an indication to us that the Hebrew words are difficult to translate when you see this kind of disparity. Seven words. Twenty-six letters. You see the connection to Hashem. You see the unity of Zeranpin and Malchut in the seven words. The 20th verse. And I think that will be the last verse for today. Ata yadata kherpati uvashti uklimati negdeha kol tzorirai. You know and are fully aware of how much disgrace I have endured. It is all before you. The shame and humiliation I have endured at the hands of my enemies. Do you think King David is calling his brothers his enemies? Or is this a different status, a different level of how people perceive him? Or is he referring to enemies? The English translation commentary from Machon Mamre on verse 20. Now knows my reproach and my shame and my confusion. Mine adversaries are all before thee. Here the translation makes it clear. His adversaries are his brothers. Why his brothers? Because all children compete with their siblings for the love of their parents or the attention of their parents. Of course, they don't truly compete, but this is the playpen. The family is the playpen for how we are raised, how we grow, for learning the values that we will manifest throughout our life. 8 words connecting to the Sephirah Bina. Four letters is Lamed Dalet, but in the reverse order, Dalet Lamed, it becomes the word Dal, which means poor or poorness, black. Another way of understanding Dal is this is the doorway to the education. Dalet is means door. Lamed means a teacher. This is the doorway to the teacher. This is the completion of our class. We're almost out of time anyway. Does anybody have any questions? Go ahead.
Well, I would. This is Hannah. I'm just wondering if that word translated as adversary, you know, we always link that definition to the Satan. I can kind of see a picture of the brother standing up, and their words are definitely negative against David. But could it be that he also sees their words coming really from the Satan using his brothers?
Absolutely.
Enough interpretation.
That's very much so. Very correct.
Okay, I'm going to mute again.
Well, the class is over, so it's a question of if there are no other questions, then you all have a wonderful Shabbat. This is the Shabbat of healing, Shabbat Pinchas. And as I wrote in my Rosh, in the email that you got last week, or last Shabbat, that covers this Shabbat, this reading today, there are the 5 forms of healing. The 5 anomalies that are part of parcel of the healing mechanisms that are available in the Parasha of Pinchas. So I highly recommend you take a look at those 5. The small yud, the split vav, the open space after the word magefa, meaning plague, large nun, and I forget what the 5th one is. But they're really very powerful tools. Go ahead.
I'd like to add too. This morning I decided to read the English version of Tikkun Hazot Raquel. And the very first paragraph that you have on the website of the English version had to do with healing too. So I think everyone would benefit by reading that English version.
Which English version?
Of Tikkun Hazot that you have on the website, right underneath, you know, the Hebrew commentary. You have an English one.
Right.
Well, I have it in the other room now, so I can't tell you exactly, but you have the Hebrew version, and then right underneath that is the English version. And this was the first time I read it in English since last year. I had been doing it in the Hebrew, so
okay.
And that first paragraph.
We're talking about the Tikkun Hatzot for, I assume, for Rachel, correct?
Right.
Okay. And on the, in the 3 week period, there are two links. There are a number of links, but two of them. One is the Hebrew version of the Tikkun Hatzot, and the other is an English version of the Tikkun Hatzot. And Chana is referring to the English version of that Tikkun Hatzot, and she's recommending that we all read it.
And I hope I'm telling you correctly, because sometimes I add things. And I didn't check the website, but that's what I had behind it. So Psalm 137 was in English, and then I think the other I had copied from my own memory. But I did that either last year or the year before, so I hope I'm telling you correctly. But
I'm sure
I know
are.
It wasn't something I came up with, you know. So.
Yes. So, you all have a wonderful Shabbat.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Is our next class at 2 today, or Raquel? Is it at 2?
Yes, there is. It's at 2 in Central Time. It's 3 in Eastern Time, and it's noon in West Coast Time.
All right. Thank you.
Shalom.
Okay. Shalom. Thank you.
Shabbat Shalom.